Very low.
When you make the deputy sheriff.
Well, we were after a man who was apparently been doing something very desperate.
Now, if anyone knows what that is from, you win a prize. I'm not going to tell you. I'll let you guess if you're smart enough. It's Sunday, December the 7th, 2025. It's Fakeologist Show. I thought that was good intro music, but that comes from a pretty big album from somebody. And I forgot about it until Mr. E made his last video, and that prompted me to remember. So here we are. It's Fakeologist Show. Welcome, everyone. It's Sunday. Did I already say that? Sunday, December 7th, 2025, Pearl Harbor anniversary day of that fake event. And I think I figured out what crashed my system Wednesday and then caused problems Thursday. But I might be right, might be wrong. We'll see. And today is FAK 1176 with a prophet of fiction, Subterranean Bible, Peter from Mexico. Hello.
Hello, Fakeologist.
Welcome to the show. I hope you're still enjoying everything. This is show number 8, 9, 10, up there?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, it's definitely a tangential thing. I never thought we'd be going down this road. What did you think?
I didn't expect to be here either. I mean, not just on your show, but... talking about these things, everything from, the first show, not so much, but the cannibalism theme and where we are today with things will continue to be strange even for me.
Okay. Now, this is all original research from yourself?
Absolutely. These are from books I've been working on for 18 years, but the topics we're discussing recently are recent discoveries of mine that are, I had a slow period five, six, 8 months ago, and suddenly a few things came together, and I went down a very dark rabbit hole, and I'm just about out, just about done with that.
Okay,
topic.
Good.
Yes, very good.
Well, what do you mean with that topic? You were talking about the Subterranean Bible part or the rest of the book?
The whole electric Bible, cannibalism. I will be doing human farms. It's so dark.
Okay. Well, it is dark, yeah. Is there any alternative way to look at it, or you figure this is correct?
Well... yeah, I wouldn't be writing it if I didn't think it were correct. My job is to scare people into agreeing with me and joking, but I'll let people decide what they think.
All right. Well, you're going to share your screen and we're going to get going.
Yeah, let's do it right there.
Anyone, are we taking call-ins tonight?
Sure. I'd be friendly.
Okay.
I wanted to start with a clip from my lunch break, The Hidden World Beneath Us. This man who admits he's working with a team has this show focused on Cyprus, that little island in the Mediterranean. And he's discussing the many underground necropolises there, and following the mainstream or the Tartarian narrative, I feel he's whitewashing it, claiming it is just necropolises. But shall I play it for a little bit? I want to show about a minute and a half.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
All right.
Time, as they say, incredible. Withholding information from us yet again. Blocking off the public from this and not giving us the mapping and just how big the network of tunnels really are. And we all know why this is. The network of catacombs would show that they connect to the other sites, the other necropolises. It would show that these are not just one little site over here and then one small site over there. It would expose that these are all interconnected, and it is one massive necropolis, a burial site, especially a large one. And this is now exposed, whether they want to show it to us or not. We all know that it's there, and we are not going to go back to not knowing. We are only going to expose it more and more.
Yeah, a little commentary. I've watched more than several, and I'm getting quite annoyed by this repeating phrase, we know.
What do we know?
And we're not, yeah, like we know everything now. If you're watching him, if you believe him, it just feels wrong for a genuine researcher to keep repeating that.
All over the world. Cyprus is unbelievable when it comes to researching the old world, where Cyprus has approximately 20 to 30 documented necropolises and catacombs across the island. Cyprus is one massive burial site. And then we see, even on the other side of Cyprus, 90 miles away from the tombs of the kings, we have the Salamis necropolis. And it is time to go deeper.
Yeah, the Salamis necropolis. If I'm not mistaken, salami is meat.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, and that does connect to my research that, you know, these underground places were human farms. Initially, I thought, well, just for the cannibals, but they're too extensive. So today I will introduce the another use these farms may have served. I do feel that arguing that these massive underground complexes that are scattered around the world under most of the old cities, to say that people went to all this trouble to bury their respected dead underground, why underground? Why wouldn't you give them a decent crypt above ground with flowers and trees? Yeah. It's highly suspicious. And I think I'm at 751 here at with a little image here of one of the necropolises. Anyway, I can't catch it right now, but the pillars that are fronting the entrance are very simple, called Doric pillars. They're the most basic. You wouldn't use them for kings, and it's supposed to be for the tombs of the kings. So it doesn't work. And they're not very luxurious. Nothing above ground tombs we find in Rome, for example, which are quite stunning. Mm-hmm. So, a little more.
Are you ready? A necropolis, the old world, spanning 2 miles and contains thousands of tombs that we are being told about. A necropolis, the old world. Did you ever expect this research to actually find the old world civilization?
Mm-hmm. Well,
the guy's very dramatic with his arrow, a red arrow.
Yeah. In the red text, and the intonation of the voice, it's very professional and rhetorical. Just noticing the chamber tombs, pit graves. That doesn't sound very respectful for the dead.
Mm-hmm.
and chamber tomb sounds like something very large. Needless to say, okay, let's move to my today's reading.
Okay.
A new share. One moment. And so I will use today, specifically just the Bible, to investigate this topic of not necropolises, but of going underground, digging, and what kind of tools were used. There's a little picture here of, I think it was the Third Reich, the Nazis, apparently using some unusual sound weapons. Maybe this is just show again. Sound weapons would be highly difficult to use as they would affect everyone nearby. All right. Tunnels and sonic tools. Sound weapons are a joke. Using them at frequencies that harm would harm the wielder of the weapon as much as the intended target. However, many frequencies we cannot hear or feel can influence our environment, both the ground and the atmosphere. Again, if such frequencies can be used against the target, they would also be used against the wielder of the weapon, so it still seems useless. The Pentateuch mentions using silver trumpets to communicate simple messages to nearby Jews, exactly as church bells are still used by Catholics in Mexico. But the Book of Joshua mentions using trumpets made of ram's horns to destroy the walls of Jericho. On one hand, this is ridiculous. 300 years ago, the world conquerors only faced wood age peoples. They did not face any stone walls. So the story must have another meaning, encrypted. I guess tech was used as a tool to soften stone and soil, perhaps cause mud floods that poured into pre-industrial age cities and filled the vast tunnels and chambers beneath those cities so that the evidence of crimes against humanity might be buried. So I'm departing very far from the Tartarian narrative that argues for mud floods, but doesn't have a good reason for them. I'm saying they're hiding their crimes. Does the Bible provide any clues about the subterranean, or rather suburban, world that still exists, albeit empty or filled with mud and stone? In some cases, perhaps replaced with subways and shopping malls, as perhaps beneath Toronto.
Okay, yeah. I used to work under there, so I don't know. They were pretty recently built.
You're pretty sure of that.
What, the path system underneath the big towers? Yeah.
No, that they, well, the stores are recent, yeah, but how old was the actual, you know, the tunnels in space?
Yeah, I don't think that was, there's nothing suspicious about that to me, but the only thing that I didn't like is they're easy to get lost in. And you're trying to get back to the underground parking. That was the hard part, but yeah, that was before we had GPS.
It's a bit odd to put shopping malls underground.
Well, it is odd, but there is a good reason, and it's freezing cold half the year here. So all the underground work, right. I used to do it because I was a courier. I used to travel all around underneath there, just park in one spot and then deliver all kinds of places and not have to go outside when it's blowing and freezing cold. So
wow.
I really don't think there's anything nefarious. Yeah. And as for the subways, well,
yeah,
that's just trains. So.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it could be more interesting, but it's not, Peter. The only thing these days, though, they're empty because their office workers aren't back in force. So all those stores are just dying underground. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we still have Cyprus and a few other places, so-called necropolises, not shopping malls.
Well, necropolis means burial ground, right?
Yeah, that's the but that's what I'm challenging, right?
Okay.
Just like the pyramids were not.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. By the way, the comments aren't reloading tonight. I don't know if it's because of the thing I had running. So they're not showing because they're not loading. So if anyone wants to question where the comments are, I don't know if the comments are. I'll have to go to YouTube and see if anyone's commenting here and there at shortfake.com/YouTube is our channel on YouTube, I think. But carry on, Pete.
Okay. In the book of Job, I found this quotation. They tunnel through the rock. Their eyes see all its treasures. Although that chapter is about mining and claims it was done with their hands, the verse uses exaggeration to raise questions. People assault the flinty rock with their hands and lay bare the roots of the mountains. Now, with their hands sounds absurd. Didn't they use tools? And to lay bare the roots of the mountains sounds like they are doing more than digging some small primitive mines. An earlier verse in Job 28 offers another clue. Far from human dwellings, they cut a shaft in places untouched by human feet. Far from other people, they dangle and sway. The same verse in the King James Version is entirely different, which makes this verse seem important. So we should ask, how did they cut a shaft? Digging seems the proper verb for making a mine. The use of the verb to cut suggests tools other than pickaxes and shovels. And how are they cutting their mine in places untouched by human feet? Still other translations of this verse speak of ropes and harnesses, as if the miners were descending vertically by means of ropes and pulleys. But vertical mining shafts would still need miners standing on the bottom to dig deeper. Were the tunnels dug by men and machines? Twice Ezekiel was instructed to dig through the wall while he was in Jerusalem, probably in a temple. How can a man dig through a solid wall? It cannot be done with a pickaxe or shovel. What else could he use? A power tool, a giant magnifying glass whose light was directed through a pipe and around corners so that the engineers could melt tunnels through bedrock? I'm just playing with ideas.
Okay.
In 2 Kings 2020, the authors tease readers looking for answers. As for the other events of Hezekiah's reign, all his achievements and how he made the pool and the tunnel by which he brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? That is a rhetorical question. The authors knew that the information explaining how he made the pool and tunnel were not in any annals. Of course, it wasn't and it isn't. After all, they want to keep their history and technologies secret. What about the book of Revelation? Perhaps it reveals the truth. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. If the abyss is hell, why does it have a shaft, as if it were a mine or a tunnel into a subterranean world? The word abyss also sounds like abyss, which are places for nuns. But that word sounds too much like the plural for none, which could mean no ones, which might be a derogatory word for people forced to live underground by a ruling elite. Deuteronomy implies that hell has many levels or floors, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. As if they were using heat to dig through the earth. That describes the fact that many cities have multiple levels of subterranean tunnels and chambers, the chambers of death, Proverbs 7:27. The phrase, consume the earth with her increase, sounds like God is consuming or eating something in the lowest part of hell, which makes good sense if, as I believe, human livestock were and perhaps are raised in subterranean farms. This helps explain why David said, if I make my bed in hell. Jews and Christians assume the bed and hell are metaphorical. I guess the bed is literal and hell is physical, subterranean and dug by men. The book of Micah calls those people worms. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes, or hells, like worms of the earth. Well, serpents don't lick dust, really, so they are stuck being worms. In the Bible, Tartarus, a Greek word, is one of the few synonyms for hell. It is used in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It is described as a place where fallen angels are held in chains until the day of judgment. I believe Tartarus should be identified with Tartaria, so people researching Tartaria should stop studying it with stars and hearts in their eyes. Tartaria can be used as the name for the civilization that existed prior to the Industrial Revolution. But the tunnels and chambers under its cities were farms raising humans for cannibals and slave masters. And no one could escape from that underground prison without the keys of hell. Revelation.
Mm.
So much for the subterranean world in the Bible. Let's return to the sonic tool topic. Why Joshua's trumpets were made of ram's horns. Horns are a symbol of Satan, master of the subterranean world. So did the authors want to suggest a satanic offensive against Jericho? Again, what was the technology that brought down the walls of Jericho? Let's analyze the name Jericho. Centuries ago, the DJ, J sound of the modern English J did not exist. It still doesn't exist in most languages. Jesus was spelled and pronounced Jesus. Therefore, Jericho would be Jericho, or just Jericho. And since the CH is actually a hard K, it can be spelled Jericho. Eric, or Eric, is a Western European name, and Jericho in vowelless Hebrew is spelled RK. So it also reads and sounds like Eureka, RK. A word that signifies the moment either a new technology is invented or a new fact is discovered. So a little connection between the magical fall of the walls while playing a strange, well, horn instrument, and technology, a word, the word Eureka, implying a new invention. As I mentioned earlier, some frequencies can cause changes in solid objects, possibly soften stone and make mining and tunneling easier. The book of Judges links the sound produced by trumpets with shattering glass. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. Trumpets don't produce the right frequency to shatter glass.
No.
But at least, But at least the authors knew that some frequencies can affect solid objects. The remainder of the Bible's chronology suggests that the Jews only used their trumpets for recreational purposes, not destructive ones. But Revelation describes 7 trumpet blasts that caused destruction. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down on the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. In fact, sound cannons can be used to prevent hail, not to cause it, and sound cannons can be used to extinguish fires, not to cause fires. But Revelation claims the opposite because it mocks us. Sound cannons can make ears bleed and possibly cause death, as Revelation states. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. However, I don't believe sound was ever weaponized. It was used instead as an engineering tool. Probably.
Directed energy weapons.
Yeah. Well, directed energy tools, maybe.
Yeah. I don't believe in them really either. I know there's some sound weapons that the military.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm with you in terms of rejecting the war narrative, the giant war narrative. That's really just the history narrative. History is war.
Yeah.
So, and the Bible is just that way. It's just a long series of wars and conflicts. Divine violence or human violence. It's take your pick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tartarus and the Tartarians. In Greek and Roman myths, Tartarus is a place of punishment and suffering. The name could be a deviation of Tartaria, the land of the native Rus. This word, by the way, is supposed to be linked to the word white.
Right. Or it means Russian, right?
Yeah, and presently, yes.
Yeah.
It's a very white place in the winter.
Right, that's for sure.
White people. There's also perhaps an English crypto pun here, the word ruse, deception.
Yeah.
In English, the fragment tart refers to a woman who lusts for sex and has no standards for partners. Tart also means cake in Dutch, and tart is spelled tort in Russian and is related to the Spanish word for flat bread, tortilla. Thus, the word tart already implies cannibalism because it refers to both people and bread, conflating them. Not that it needs to, because bread is a satanic symbol for flesh, specifically the flesh of Jesus. Tartarus occurs in the Greek Septuagint, translation of Job, and in the Greek text of the Book of Enoch, which states that God placed the archangel Uriel in charge of the world and of Tartarus. Yes, even that book is evil, assigning archangels the job of wardens of prisoners in charge of the world and of Tartarus, the underground. The good archangel would certainly need light if he were a warden of the underground, which explains why Uriel is a compound word constructed from the Hebrew name Uri, which means my light, and El meaning God. In short, Uriel means God is my light, or shall we say, electricity is my light. All right.
You want to take a caller in her?
Sounds like good timing to me.
Okay. Let's just see what happens here.
Hold time, 12 seconds.
Caller in her, where are you calling from? What's your name?
Hi, this is Dave C. I'm calling from Mexico.
Oh, another Mexico person. Sorry, what's your name?
Dave C. I grew up in suburban Chicago, and I lived quite a while in Michigan, so I know a lot of what John the Beggar refers to, but...
Okay, you're a little muffled. It's a little hard to hear. I think you said your name is JC. Just
very, very hard to hear. Ooh.
Okay, let me try this. Hold on.
Yeah, you're a little muffled.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. What's your name?
This is Dave C.
Dave C. From Mexico.
I'm in a city called La Ventana, which is in Baja California Sur. So I'm not close to Oaxaca, but I know about it. A lot of people talk about it, and I think that's pretty cool. The prophet is there.
Yeah, he's in Oaxaca, I think.
Yes, I am.
No, Oaxaca's great. Oaxaca's great. I haven't been there, but I just was calling to let you know I don't have a lot of time, but this is the greatest show on the internet. I think this is amazing.
All right.
I'm grateful for what you guys do. Since you for a long time. I've got two young children. I'm not very active or anything. I've never done the Saturday or Sunday thing, but during the week, I'm pretty consistent, and I love all your guests and you guys.
You're too kind.
I have a little constructive criticism a little bit.
Go for it.
Well, here's the thing. because you're reminding me a little bit of John LeBron, which is not the person you want to be reminded of, because, and I mean that by saying the flat earth idea, John LeBron writes it off by sourcing known shills, people like Dave Weiss and people that are just known agents. And he sources them, and he really sounds uneducated. And I feel as though you're falling into a similar trap.
Okay.
With the old world exploration, but you know, you call it a mudflood or a Tartaria. Prophet makes good points. The autodidactic person made some decent points. Honestly, no offense, but they're really low level when it comes to this type of research. I suggest that you get a hold of. And you have no problem setting up an interview, and I think you'll love it. But Michelle Gibson is the person you want to talk to. She's the queen of old world exploration.
Okay.
And she even did a video on Toronto, linking it with Baltimore. So you and Lynn should take a look at that video. But essentially, everything that we have, which are the canals, the bridges, the airports, the marina, I mean, everything is from a different period. And even you're in Toronto, I mean, my goodness, I was looking at, I just go on Google Maps and look at all these places, and I thought, Toronto, the surrounding suburbs, it's clear that everywhere's the same. I mean, it's just one big motherboard, and all of these buildings are energy creators, and they're sourcing it from the air, from the ether. So, but you know, you got to talk to people who are really on top of their game. Michelle Gibson is the queen. I was John Levi, and I think the king.
Okay.
But if you get go after Michelle Gibson, you have no problem getting her on. I'll get on next week, and she loves talking about this. She's brilliant. She's been doing it for many, many years, and it'll be the best thing that you've ever done, because you drive around for a living. Now you start driving around seeing old world exploration everywhere. There's a clear, you'll see it. I mean,
So you buy into this whole idea of this ancient history underground.
Well, underground, above ground, yeah.
It's not about buying into anything. It's just about recognizing that the story, just like you make fun of the story from the day-to-day news, you know, mainstream news is a roots, and it applies even more so in, you know, before 1900. All these, the vast majority of these buildings were built from 1880 to 1910, and it's just absurd. All the stories repeat each other, the fires, the tearing down buildings for nonsense. It's just it's really laughable. The world fairs, like, all that stuff applies, but really, they wouldn't have been able to do any of it without power tools, without electricity, without, okay, I got a baby crying, but Michelle Gibson is the woman you want to talk to, Ab, and it'll change your life.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at her website now, so I appreciate it. But how does that connect to johnlebon.com?
My thesis was don't be like John LeBron, because John LeBron, I was a paid subscriber back, you know, 5-6 years ago, and of course I stopped because he just kept railing on flat earth by sourcing these yahoos that we all know are agents. And Tim Osman, he had Tim Osman on the show more than any other guest, and Tim Osman made it clear to him more than once that these people, they're in the game, like they're behind the curtain. And he talks about, oh, I had to find this table and all these, you know, the leading flat earthers came on. And so don't get the leading mud flood researcher. Go with somebody like Michelle Gibson. She's solid. She's the best.
Okay.
And with your background in computers, I think you're really going to like her overall theory, because she breaks it down into a motherboard, or essentially.
Okay, I will. I'll look her up. This really isn't totally my topic, but I know now that I'm going down the rabbit hole with Peter, I should probably maybe widen the scope a bit. Hey, I got one more caller in or on the line. Where are you calling from? What's your name?
AJ.
Okay, AJ. I wasn't sure. I thought you might be John LeBron, so hold on a sec. I just want to say thanks to Mexico for calling in. I appreciate it. Thanks for your compliments. You're very kind.
Yeah, thanks for having a great show.
I really appreciate it. Thank you. And sorry, this is AJ from where?
Maryland.
AJ from Maryland. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, not much. Does Baltimore have underground cities? Have you been to Baltimore?
We have underground parking lots.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, POF, I love your work, man. Presentation
you.
On YouTube, the one on Poe was killer.
Sorry, the one on what?
Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's quite a while ago.
Look at you. You got fans.
You tied it into the pandemic, and then I couldn't even remember the story. I went back and reread it. I know all that Freemason stuff must have gone way over my head.
Oh, the Cask of Amontillado.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the Phenom presentation. And you tied it in with 2020, right. What was going on. Hey, here's my question. So you've got the Old and the New Testament being written in, what, late 18th century in English, correct?
That's right. That's right. As the first language, English.
Can you elaborate?
Well, I have extensive work on it, and I find far too many words, names have English roots. They only make sense when you break them down through English, and nothing comes to mind. And I'm doing that with not only the Bible, but with many other texts. It's English everywhere. If you don't know your English and other European languages, you don't know what they're saying. And it's a Hindu text or a Buddhist text.
So what do you do with the church fathers then? What are you doing with them? Augustine, Aquinas, Calvin?
Yeah, it's all around the same time. It's all faked at the same time, the same decades, I guess. I tried to pinpoint the location even as Versailles, France. But who knows? And that's not really important. It's just that there's too much evidence that, it's been faked by people who are polyglots, know a lot of languages, and are making up words from mostly European words.
So is the like the Septuagint, that's an 18th century creation too?
Yeah, all the different copies are just one way to get us confused and impressed and in awe of all this, pile of verbiage and litter, I see.
So how about like the Ge'ez, the Ethiopic? I mean, because some of these, you're not going there.
No, I want to throw everything in the same garbage. I will throw everything in the same garbage.
Codex Alexandrinus, all of that. Those are all 18th century productions.
I believe so. There was no public, or was no market, or what's the right word? No one to read them before that.
Okay.
And I think we were the targets. We are the targets, and all these texts were written to keep us ignorant, and not only books, but even entire architectural projects, like Egypt, seems to have had no function in the past, except to make us stare and be stupid.
Hey, one more thing, man. So Julia was a honeypot after all that. Who knew? It's so obvious.
Did you say Virgilian?
Julia. In 1984, she was a honeypot the whole time.
Oh, in the book, yeah.
Okay, I don't know the
reference. Yeah, Julia was the love interest, no?
Yeah, you got it.
Love interest of?
Winston. Of Winston, yeah.
Oh, okay. You were talking about
the book.
Yeah,
not the year. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right. She was absolutely a honey. Well, I guess you saw my, I think I did a video on that. It might be on YouTube.
I watched that too. And I saw you do one with Ab too.
So you,
but who knew, right?
Okay. Yeah. You. So you're on Prophet of Fiction's YouTube.
I'm doing that too. Yes, sir.
Prophet.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Okay. Thanks for all the great work.
Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Well, two love bombings in a row. I'm not used to this.
Yes. Okay. It's making up for last week.
Thank you. Thank you, AJ. Bye. I think your name's AJ. Bye-bye. Wow, that's, it's almost like that they were arranged together to call one after the other. That doesn't happen too much. I like it.
Yeah, well, I did have to pay.
Oh, they're your buddies. I gotcha. Funny. Yeah, so we're streaming on your YouTube channel as well, which is great, because I think that even though I don't think anyone's watching right now, at least it gets put on your channel, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Actually, you got a few views on our shows. Oh, I see. It looks like I streamed our show on Thursday to your channel as well, maybe? Or maybe not. No, that's not right. I'm just looking on your YouTube channel right now, as you can see here. This is your YouTube channel. Let's see here. Yeah, live. Okay, good. So it looks like my show from 2 weeks ago got streamed on your channel, even though you weren't on it. That's funny.
Oops. I guess if I don't like it.
Yeah, you can remove it. I don't know how that happened. You got a few views, though, which is good.
Okay, a few.
31, means... 14, so that's more than zero.
Oh. that's on YouTube,
that's on,
right?
Your YouTube channel.
Yeah, I do better on your on FakeoTube.
Right. And I see one is scheduled for today. Okay, 10 p.m. Okay, well, whatever. That's what we're watching now, so that's funny. Okay, let's get back. Let's get back to your work, because we only have 20 minutes left.
Okay.
Got to keep the show tight.
Yeah. Okay. The Bible creates the illusion that almost no technology existed in the past. Adam and Eve did not build fires, make clay pots, build homes, or use mattocks, hoes, or plows. Abraham and Isaac dug wells without shovels and pulley systems, and they did not use a dowsing stick. Thousands of Hebrews migrated across deserts, often carrying the Ark of the Covenant and its two blocks of stone, as if they didn't know how to make wheels or use draft animals. Moses and company needed a miracle to cross the Red Sea on foot. Why didn't God give them boats? What about mechanical and civil engineering? The only buildings God approved were huts for the Jews and temples for his priestly liars. No bridges, aqueducts, roads, castles, cisterns, water mills, or windmills, nothing. Solomon's temple wasn't even designed by Jewish architects. The prophet Elijah specialized in bringing water, stopping water, crossing rivers, and purifying water by throwing salt into water. Ha ha ha. He was a water god, a Neptune, an Aquaman. But seriously, Romans, or Normans, really, not Jew prophets, were famous for bringing water with aqueducts and for using dams to stop water and flood valleys with water and for crossing rivers with bridges. Moreover, just as Elijah destroyed fresh water by casting salt into it, according to historians, Romans destroyed foreign soil by casting salt on their soil. In short, all of Elijah's water miracles are based on Western technological and engineering feats and an alleged military tactic of salting soil. The authors of the Bible were not Jewish miracle makers. They knew the techniques that were used to construct the world's most of the world's megalithic structures, temples, and other ancient Tartarian buildings. They knew how to cast stone and to cut stone with precision. And they knew how to move giant blocks over long distances without modern machines. A hint of their secret Masonic knowledge exists in the Book of Kings. It contains one special sentence describing the construction of Solomon's temple. In building the temple, Only blocks dressed at the quarry were used, and no hammer, chisel, or any other iron tool was heard at the temple site while it was being built. No hand tools were used. How did they build without hammers, chisels, or any other iron tool? Experts agree that the world's megalithic structures and massive stone buildings were not made with hand tools. So what kind of tool was used? Tool made of glass, a giant magnifying glass, and a giant bronze magnifone. This is a wonderful image, you know, like, it's really, it serves no purpose except to make people stare and wonder and get lost. They intentionally made this like a puzzle.
Yeah,
pile of rocks. Right. And they even reversed the natural order. They made the bottom level the most awe-inspiring and hard to imagine. And then they made the top levels very primitive. So everything's backwards and people have to scratch their heads and say, what happened here?
Yeah.
You've been played. We have been played.
When do you think they put that together?
200 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Makes more sense to me.
Yeah, it's a joke. Once the blocks were cut, how were they moved from the quarry to the building site? Were giant zeppelins used to levitate them? So I did watch, what's that man's name? We just mentioned him, one of those Tartarian researchers. He had a good video with photos of these enormous zeppelins or airships carrying hundreds and hundreds of people and furniture inside them, and staircases. Yeah, I think they could carry some rocks if they were empty on top. And who were the builders of the world's mind-boggling stone structures? Freemasons. This secret society traces its origin to Solomon's Temple. But Freemasons are not stonemasons. They merely serve as a nice public facade for the satanic upper ranks. They use images of the square and compass in their logo, but their members are not Masons. This town hall, Leuven, Belgium, what a bizarre and complex structure. I'm sure the Tartarians would say that's collecting free energy with all these antenna-like...
the spires.
Spires, yeah, and these tiny things attached to the roof and to the sides of the buildings. Who were the builders of the world's mind-boggling stone structure? Oops. Were diamond-tipped blades used to cut stone? The word diamond is mentioned four times in the Old Testament, and the book of Isaiah speaks figuratively about using diamonds to engrave written words on stone. The sin of Judah is written with an iron stylus engraved with a diamond point on the tablet of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. So they seem to have known that diamond makes good cutting instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Other ancient texts were written on stones, softened with extreme heat or sonic vibrations. And the existence of such lost technologies was hinted at by the story about Joshua's men blowing trumpets to make the walls of Jericho collapse. How were enormous blocks of stone moved? Exodus provides a hint. The Ark of the Covenant contained two stone tablets, and the Ark was lifted and carried by Levites. This name was derived from the word levitate, a verb which means to rise or cause to rise into the air and float in apparent defiance of gravity, imaginary gravity. Yeah. But how were the stones levitated? By the Levites. The answer was coded in the Odyssey. I'm going a bit abroad.
Homer's Odyssey.
Yes, which claims that a bag full of wind pushed a ship across the sea. I don't believe compressed air was used to move objects. I believe the bag of wind refers to the bag of gas known as zeppelins.
The helium.
Helium, yeah. Or you know, hydrogen is more powerful as a... Less hydrogen, yeah. They move giant stones, which might explain why, when the ship stopped moving, it turned into stone. They're just all hints about what they're doing, what they were doing in the real world. The Bible says the Jews destroyed the walls of Jericho with music and a stationary sun, but this is code for the fact that the WCC used sound vibrations, concentrated sunshine to build and destroy, maybe just to build, and even to liquefy and destabilize the ground. But the Jericho incident is also a joke, for the real town of Jericho has one of the most indestructible crusader castles on earth, the St. George Monastery. It has neither doors nor windows on the first few floors. One of its walls is actually a cliff, which means it's impossible to march around it as Joshua did. So we have this joking going on. Or for people who are awake, they realize, or looking, tracing these references, kind of cryptic, you realize, okay, they're not serious. There's something else going on in the Bible. The Old Testament mentions neither watermills nor windmills, but it claims Jews had many chariots. If they had chariots, why doesn't the Old Testament provide evidence that their chariots were attached to wheels, reins, and horses? No horses. The Old Testament mentions wagons only three times and only in visions of the future. Ezekiel and Daniel imagined wheels in heaven, and Solomon cast useless wheels of bronze with which to decorate his temple. Ahab, the evil king of Judah, possessed at least one functioning chariot, but he worshipped Baal, not Jehovah, and he was killed in his chariot like a sacrificial king on his throne. Isaiah told Jew farmers to use the wheels of a threshing cart to grind grain into flour. But such wheels are too light to double as millstones. And in case you stray from Isaiah's intended meaning, Amos added, because she threshed Gilead with sledges having iron teeth, I will send fire on the house of Hazael. Imagine that. Someone had the ingenuity to make threshing easier by inventing a wheel with teeth. That device seems like a torture device. Someone at the classics department of the University of Pennsylvania explained. Well, here's an image. Tortura, breaking wheel.
That was
the Romans.
Was that for grains?
No, I believe that's a torture device. Possibly never used, by the way. But
pretty nasty. Anyway.
Yes, it would be. The Romans sometimes used machines. One of these was the tribulum, a board or beam with a sharp edge of stone or iron underneath, loaded with weights on the top and drawn by oxen, which were driven by a man sitting on the handle. Another was the postellum ponicum, borrowed from the Carthaginians. This consisted of several rollers or cylinders filled with iron spikes, teeth. So there's a little connection between the prophets and the Romans. The prophet Amos never confused the tribulum and the postellum ponicum with the threshing machine, he either confused these or he hinted at medieval torture devices. Okay, another page. How were the Tower of Babel and other stone cities built? Manually, without even the simplest machines? To mock naive readers, Ezekiel gave us a vision of a useless wheeled machine, while Zechariah gave us a vision of a useless flying scroll. Ezekiel 1 says, in intentionally ineloquent, broken grammar, now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like the color of a barrel. It's funny spelling. That looks like beryllium.
Color of a barrel, yeah.
And they had four and one likeness. Beryllium is toxic. And they four had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. Ugh. Nice grammar.
Terrible.
Was Ezekiel drunk? He switched between the singular wheel and the plural wheels without reason, and then he added the word rings to make more confusion. But everything makes sense if we understand that he was trying, or pretending to try to describe a gyroscope, an instrument that helps pilots ensure smooth sailing. A popular version of the gyroscope has one spinning wheel and three wheel-like rings that can also spin for a total of four, just as Ezekiel described. I think they're still used in airplanes, no?
Gimbals?
What are they also called?
Gyroscopes, sorry.
Gyroscopes, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. They are mind-boggling to watch.
This is the last page, Peter?
We can make this the last page, yeah.
Because we're running up against an hour there, and I'm a little tired tonight.
No problem. They are mind-boggling to watch because regardless of how we tilt this device, the spinning wheel always continues spinning on its original angle to the horizon.
Uh-huh.
If it starts spinning on a perfectly horizontal level, it remains spinning perfectly horizontal, even if the device is turned sideways. The wheel does not turn. As Ezekiel said, they turned not when they went, because the wheel in the center of the gyroscope never changes its angle in relation to our flat Earth. The first known gyroscope belonged to English sea captain John Sirson in 1743, which helps explain why Ezekiel added eyes to his gyroscopic device. Captains and pilots watched their gyroscope, and the word scope has a Greek word related to watcher and one who watches. So that was good for today.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's called gyroscope with a soft G.
Is this the word you use, gimbal?
Well, gimbal is what people use to steady their smartphone when they're doing videos.
Ah, yeah, right.
Yeah, so I think it's sort of a floating. It basically absorbs any kind of shock.
Mm-hmm. You see the word gimbal here, and
yeah, gimbal.
Yeah, it's part of the gyroscope.
Yeah, gyroscope. I would call
gyroscope.
It.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just to keep it steady and level, I guess. Yeah, very interesting tonight, Peter.
Thank you.
So where is the so on the left we see all your chapters.
Yeah, just a few.
So have we gone all the way from the top right?
Not even close.
We're jumping around.
Yeah, I'm jumping into the stuff I've done recently. And which seems to be the most controversial interest, maybe the most interesting to me anyway, because it's fresh. No, we would have to do more than 100 shows just for one book.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. And can people buy this book off you?
Absolutely. Just contact me by email. And you don't have to do.
What's the email again? I'm going to punch it in the computer here.
Sure. G-Force.
G-Wiz. G-W-H-I-Z. Yeah, at gmail.com. Right. G-Force G-Wiz. At gmail.com. I'll put it in the show notes. And here's your video YouTube page here. I'll put that in the show notes so people can find you here.
Thank you.
Am I showing it? Yeah, here it is. And let's see. Stop BS Now. Is that your website?
That's the old name. I will have probably retitled that.
Stop BS Now. And usually there's a way to find an email address on the YouTube page, but I don't see it right now.
I can add that. It. I actually forgot it existed.
Well, I'm glad we got it going, because at least if mine is suppressed, maybe yours is not. So maybe the videos, people will find this video if you put good keywords in. Oh, we got one more caller in her.
Oh, great.
Right at the end of the show. Who could that be now?
Hold time, 1 minute, 21 seconds.
All right, caller in her, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, psychologist. Hey, prophet. This is Jay from Texas.
Hi, Jay. Real you're catching us right at the end.
Yeah, I wanted to listen to it before I called because he's a real interesting guest, and usually all his information comes out at the end. You know what I mean? Like, you have to listen to it.
That's real good. Awesome. That's good.
The catacombs remind me of those, the first topic, those French catacombs. You know what I mean? I don't know if you heard of it.
Yeah.
Heard of
those? Sure, problems. French and Italian are big.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then how you were talking about farming and everything, it reminded me of something I heard out of Ukraine with the Russians. Mm-hmm. They found something like that with the modern era. Yeah, like the human farms and underground. You know, when you talk about the underground tunnels and when you were going into the whole storm gods like Bell, I just keep remembering Trump. Ballroom, and it's supposedly right under the bunker, the White House bunker, you know. And that's another thing, when people talk about tunnels and they try to make fun of you, you know, don't let them do that, because you could just look at irregular history. Congress in the Congress building, there's tunnels, because when there was a march on DC by World War I veterans, that's how we got our VA benefits. Mm-hmm. All the VA loans and everything. Instead of the Congress going out there to meet them, they went out through tunnels. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, like, there are these things. I mean, in my city alone, there's this old building. They call it the old courthouse. It was used as an old courthouse. Uh-huh. And it was shut down in the 70s. But it's a real interesting Victorian design. It would look like something out of, you know, the Victorian era. And it's just this random building in the middle of the desert, because this is South Texas, basically like a desert. And it's almost like that's where I heard where you get the saying the one horse town is. You see this town and it's just one magnificent building and everything else is just like a tent. Like a shack. It's real interesting though. It has like marble, it has like real, the bigger rings look like those are decorative all the way around with just figurines and stuff like that. And they want to tear it down. They don't want to rebuild it or anything. It's real interesting. And I heard it has tunnels too, leading all the way to the major cities up north. But yeah, good
talk. Yeah, they could be long.
Keep on doing it. I hope you keep on doing it. It's awesome.
Great. It's awesome. Yeah. So we're going to go. What's next week? Well, it's not fresh in my mind. The underground farms, and maybe even rewriting the colonial period.
I'm just real interested about that modern, you know, that modern Bell interpretation with the ballroom and the how big it's going to be. I wonder how much that's going to fit in with the history that we're talking about too. But thank you, take all.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Prophet, for taking my call. Y'all have a good evening.
You too, Jay. Thanks.
Thanks, Jay.
Have fun down there in Texas. All right, we're gonna wrap it up now with, I guess, a little bit more of the original album. If you guessed what it was, you'll hear the rest of it as I continue to play it. I got this idea off Mr. E. He just put a new video out. He's going to maybe come back in January when he Ranger Things, which everyone is watching apparently, except me, who's out of it, out of touch and all that. And sorry about the comments not showing up. It's just twirling right here. but I didn't want to try and refresh the screen because it would have interrupted the broadcast. So I just left it as not available. All right, Pete. Well, thanks a lot. And
thank you.
And we'll see you next time. See you next week.
For sure. Have a
you too. Week. And tomorrow we'll have say you don't love we'll it. Have what's his name? Tim Osmond will be in tomorrow. All right, guys.
Good.
Have a good one and we'll talk to you next time. Bye bye.
Oh no, don't answer. Oh no. I'm getting closer.